Good day, everybody. Don, Tony here. Hope everybody's doing good. I am doing a special episode here talking about the upcoming debut edition of AEW Collision. Yes, I'm a poet, in case you didn't know it. Look, whether you hear this episode prior to AEW Collision's debut or months later, I promise you this will be an interesting episode to tune into, because we are just going to have a quick discussion as far as our views, our feelings of what we are going to expect out of AEW Collision, what we are going to get out of AEW Collision, what is going to happen with CM Punk and others, how AEW Collision has been handled leading up to its debut. Because I got to tell you, after the June 14th edition of AEW Dynamite, I got to tell you right up front, AEW Collision feels, I got that same feeling like I did with Rampage episodes. Remember Rampage a couple of years ago? It was going to debut, and Tony Khan doing some interviews going on Twitter. And Rampage was supposed to be an extension of Dynamite, but it was also supposed to welcome back some of the dormant fans that fell out of love of pro wrestling. Now it almost seems like AEW Collision, in some ways, is designed to bring back, to welcome back those dormant fans of AEW. And up until a 12 o'clock hour, you know, props to everybody who is finally talking about this. To be honest with you, it's probably about 9 months too late. But enough people are talking about a lot of the anti-punk elite media just spewing out lots of nonsense, lots of falsities, because there is an agenda that is anti-CM Punk. There are people within AEW. It doesn't matter. It's not their company. And I know that sounds kind of, you know, generalistic, but it's not their company. The bottom line doesn't matter to them so much to their ratings on TV, their match ratings amongst Meltzer, and pay-per-view buys, just the numbers, not the actual revenue. It's about bragging rights more than anything else. And up until the 12 o'clock hour, that same elements of the anti-punk media are at it. And they are at it in droves. And, you know, a lot of the controversy right now has to do with an interview that hasn't even been released yet between CM Punk and ESPN. Now, by the time you tune into this preview, we would have already heard, watched, read the transcript of CM Punk's appearance. But it's going to be interesting, because I think this is going to be AEW and CM Punk's attempt to basically take this anti-punk media, a lot of the chicken shit that is being thrown out there, and try to turn it into chicken salad. Because believe me, you look at, and I don't like singling individuals out, but, you know, we remember for the last 12 months, you know, those elite personnel within AEW are feeding things, you know, to the observers and to the others. You could see online, I mean, you still, up until the announcement that CM Punk was retired, remember this, the day before Cody Rhodes returned to WWE at WrestleMania against Seth Rollins, the day before, you had one of those journalists actually have the audacity to go on podcast and say, you know, it is possible that Cody Rhodes did not sign with WWE, and he may not appear at WrestleMania tomorrow. And what happens? You get all of the B and C listed news sites all making that a story. Up until the last minute, throw that doubt about Cody Rhodes returning because he quit AEW, because you got to get your name out there. Your name has to be in the same sentence. And sure enough, Cody Rhodes debuts. Or returns. Then you look at Tony Khan's announcement a few weeks ago of CM Punk returning to AEW for Collision. Everybody and their mother knew that this was happening. We all knew why things were delayed. It had nothing to do with TV negotiations with Warner Media. They had a pay-per-view coming up, and CM Punk and AEW brass felt that let's keep all the focus on the pay-per-view and the wrestlers that are competing, the Four Pillars and everybody else. And then we could hype up CM Punk's return the following week. That was the facts. It's just that those facts are not sexy, so nobody talks about that. But up until the day that CM Punk's announcement, the announcement that CM Punk was returning, yeah, Brian Alvarez, it is possible that CM Punk and AEW had this massive fallout. It is possible. You know, we're dealing with millionaires. We're dealing with people with high-priced attorneys. You know, this is not the indies where these wrestlers and, you know, promoters are going to just have these, you know, just little, falling outs. And this person, well, believe me, when you get to the point that Collision is debuting, you get to the point that everybody and their mother knows that CM Punk is returning. There's not going to be a last-minute fallout because CM Punk's buddy was promised this position but was not given this position. Yeah, you know, that's indie-level nonsense drama. And, you know, to see these people at the 12 o'clock hour, oh, instead of verifying, instead of getting the facts and then putting it out there, you just say what you want to say because there is an anti-Punk agenda. And listen, on the June 14th edition of AEW Dynamite, there was a hype video for CM Punk's return this weekend in Collision. And by the way, we're going to get into Collision in a moment. I have some very interesting things to say about the matches that were announced, about some of the hype, some of the rumored possible heel turns and surprises. We'll get into that in a second, but I got to say this. If you go around Twitter, there's footage everywhere. In fact, some of it's gone viral. And we're not even talking about Jon Moxley caught on the hard camera talking to Nick Jackson and the Young Bucks. We're not even talking about that tonight. But there's a viral video floating around of a fan who recorded in the live building in Washington, D.C., the crowd reaction to the CM Punk hype video that was playing in that arena. And you hear about 80 to 90% boos. Fans are not hyped for it. And listen, why? CM Punk's been injured. That's what, you know, even if this fallout last year didn't happen, there was an injury that would have kept him out of action for a very, very long time. And look, I mean, we know what happened. My point is, for the last 12 months, Tony Khan and AEW did zero. A big, fat goose egg as far as keeping CM Punk's image with an AEW positive. Now, yes, I know early on, you know, the future of CM Punk and AEW was unknown. There was a fight. There was a huge incident. You know, this outside investigation stuff was nonsense from the beginning. We all know that. It's just that none of the parties wanted to talk about it. I don't blame Tony Khan early on because you don't want to take sides and you don't want to say things that may not actually are true, or you don't want to say something that could bring you down a rabbit hole where then this comment leads to more questions and it's never ending. But once things started calming down, everybody thinks that CM Punk just started talking to AEW again within the last 2 months. That the meeting in Florida with Jericho and others was like one of the first times they've talked since this all went on. That's not true. That is not true. And the thing is that once things started calming down and you had more clarity as far as what the future was going to be, as far as AEW and CM Punk, still, they did nothing to improve CM Punk's image or maintain that image within AEW. Up until that point, AEW allowed their elite personnel, wrestlers and none, that don't like CM Punk, that despise a certain group of people who are employed by AEW because they are talented, they are household names to an extent. But as far as CM Punk goes, you had that elite part of AEW feeding to the pigeons online, certain members of the media, not all, but certain members, you know, if anything positive comes out about CM Punk, shoot it down with this. Just like with others. When there would be a little bit of momentum, hey, why isn't Miro Dima not being used on TV? He's healthy. He can return. He made comments. His wife made comments. And then what happens? An article comes out. Miro wouldn't do this. And Miro wouldn't do that. It's interesting. I would always comes out right after there's a little bit of buzz that might be a little bit anti-AEW. When you look at Andrade, when there was a little bit of buzz on the side of Andrade, then, oh, he threatened this and he did that. He said this and, oh, and he shot that. This was 2 weeks ago. He shot down the idea of doing the segment where he knocks on Tony Khan's door. It wasn't true. But with CM Punk, Tony Khan never put his foot down to tell those people in AEW, listen, stop. Stop giving these media, you know, ammunition to hurt CM Punk. Okay, you don't like him? Fine. But, you know, it's still part of AEW. It's still business. Until we iron all this stuff out, let's keep things neutral. They did nothing. So for 12 months, you have had the elite members of AEW feeding this shit. I didn't want to curse tonight. Today's the first time I want to curse. Feeding this shit to the media, and the media puts that out there. And then you have the elite themselves doing videos on YouTube. And everybody realizes, if you remember, within a month of that media scrum, I said that the fans are going to realize through these elite journalists that the elite and all of those individuals are the ones who are best for AEW business. They are the necessities. They are the ones that no matter what are going to win over. CM Punk at the end of the day is a singular pro wrestler, you know, and a sports entertainer, someone who is a businessman. And at the end of the day, CM Punk is going to worry about CM Punk. And he is not going to be in management in AEW. He's not going to be doing this. He's not heading up this. He's not running the ship. You know, he doesn't have all his buddies running the ship. So at the end of the day, you realize who is valued more behind the scenes in AEW. So for a year, they pushed that agenda. What do you expect these fans that aren't on social media? You know, the fans that are just feeling this atmosphere, feeling the climate. I mean, they see in articles, they read all the news sites, they see for the last 12 months what's been building up. You know, making CM Punk come across as this unbelievably unprofessional person that, you know, did this and did it. And then you got to remember why CM Punk did what he did at this media scrum. He was calling out the journalist for constantly putting out bullshit without even verifying it, without even asking him. You know, how many times have we talked about over the last year that when these journalists get something, we reached out for CM Punk for comment and received no reply. We reached out to Tony Khan for comment and received no reply. We reached out to Colt Cabana for comment and received no reply. They don't do that because if they get the answer, and it's not the answer that's going to get them attention and hits and views, you know, they don't want to know the truth. They want to put the speculation out there. Case in point, the 12 o'clock hour, and we'll lead into Collision now. Wade Keller, today, Thursday the 15th, less than 48 hours from the debut, well, about 48 hours from the debut edition of Collision, goes online and says that CM Punk just did an interview with ESPN and that his interview was not going to help matters and would turn the situation for AEW as one of those weeks, basically saying that he said controversial things and, you know, AEW is not happy about this. He doesn't even know what was discussed in this interview. He has not heard it. He has not seen it. Now, this is the, and I, again, I'm sorry for singling him out, but he is the last one at the 12 o'clock hour to do this, so he is the one that's going to get it right now. He is the same guy that over the last 6 months has been writing multiple times that some wrestlers that he has talked to within AEW are very against CM Punk returning and would walk out if he returns. That's not news. That is a company where some workers don't like another worker. And if they say, I'm going to walk out, if you're not going to name names, you shut the fuck up. That's not news. There's everywhere. How many times, if this person's elected, I'm leaving the country and I'm doing this. There are people out there that don't like someone. But instead of just, okay, you know, there's some people that don't like Punk within AEW. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people that do like CM Punk in AEW. Jamie Hayter just did an interview. Why it took all this time for her to give the props that she did, maybe because nobody just asked her, I guess. I know for early on, CM Punk topic was off limits for everyone. My point is that you heard about Powerhouse Hobbs giving so much praise for Punk. You hear Jamie Hayter, you hear others, certain women, what CM Punk did for them behind the scenes, just little gestures and, go look it up. There are people that do like CM Punk. And instead of being a little bit fair and balanced, then talk about, there are people with AEW that are welcoming CM Punk returning, that they believe that CM Punk is good for business and he helps a lot of people and he wants to see the company grow and he wants. No, it's just let's throw this out there. And the worst part about it is you get hundreds of these low rent wrestling news sites that a lot of people click on because they're free, because they're easy, there's just cut paste, simple. Let me get my news there, and they will write, repost anything. And now everybody is reporting, doing podcasts, this and that, about what Wade Keller said, that this interview is going to be all controversial. And then Fightful, who I subscribe to, and this is not a plug for Fightful. I'm not friends with them. I don't get paid nothing. I don't work for them. But they put out there that the interview that CM Punk did, that AEW is aware of, but not only that, it may also be designed to blur the lines and create a little bit of controversy and buzz for the upcoming shows. And I repeat what I've been saying for about 9 months. CM Punk is a millionaire. CM Punk is a businessman. CM Punk has high-priced attorneys. When you negotiate the level of a contract that CM Punk has with AEW and Tony Khan, these are not indie guys saying, all right, give me a couple hundred. Yeah, I'll come back and I'll do this. There is so many legal ease. Yeah, I remember a journalist not too long ago saying that, remember this? CM Punk was served with legal papers. And there was some things in the legal documents threatening, don't talk about this and don't this. There was no threats. It was a simple clause, an amendment to his contract because of the collision dates, because he was out with injury. So, his work gets extended a little bit. But not only that, when you have a contract like that, there are clauses that are put in there. It's not anything negative. It's not a threat. But people put it out there that way because it's sexy, because it gives you this impression of controversy. And I hope that, let me say it like this. If you remember a year ago how the media was treating CM Punk, forcing Colt Cabana out of AEW and blah, 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 that led to CM Punk exploding and, getting pissed off on All Out Media Scrum, and we know what happened. But take note over the last 12 months since the All Out Media Scrum last year, or Double or Nothing, excuse me, Media Scrum last year. Think about a year ago. These journalists have gotten worse. They haven't learned their lesson. They haven't said, we got to be a little bit better and stop, reporting possibles and, this, likely, rumored, possibly. Let's get facts and then put it out. They've gotten worse. So I hope this time around, not only does CM Punk take this and twist it around and turn it into controversy, I hope he turns on the fans, maybe not in Chicago, but maybe right after Collision in Chicago, he turns on the fans, he turns on the media, let him turn full-blown heel. I do not feel you keep CM Punk as a babyface at this point. You got to turn that motherfucker heel. And the reason being is because the more he's a babyface, the more he gets over with those fans, the louder the anti-Punk agenda is going to wreak their heads. And CM Punk doesn't mind being a heel. You know, and trust me, some of these people within the Elite, you know, they're absolutely going to love having that story where the AEW universe is solidly behind them. And they are cheering them. And they are booing the hell out of CM Punk. They're going to take this and they're going to turn it and incorporate it in the storylines that leads into Wembley. And the funny thing about it is, again, you look at these journalists that don't like Punk that are putting out there this, you know, impression that CM Punk, you know, went into business for himself on his ESPN interview. It's going to be one of those weeks for AEW and that they're not happy. And you don't even know. You never heard it. You know where they got that from? A few people within AEW. That's where they got that from. And I hope CM Punk swerved them all. I hope they swerved them all. And I have a feeling Fightful is going to be spot on with what they said. So, all right. Now we talk about what has been announced for AEW Collision. And I'm just telling to you straight up honest. I am a fan of AEW. I want to see AEW succeed. There's a lot that I like about AEW. There's a lot that I dislike about AEW. I'm not going to be one of those guys that after Adam Cole and MJF have a spectacular 30-minute time limit draw in AEW Dynamite, which was spectacular, I'm not going to go on Twitter and talk down on you and write in capital letters with emojis, this is what wrestling's all about, and if you don't like this match, there's something clearly fucking wrong with you, and this was one of the most amazing matches ever. It's like they're either trying to get the attention of the wrestlers or AEW management, or they have to, you know, give this power that they are telling you that you should feel this. I mean, I'm a wrestling fan. It was a great fucking match. But I'm not going to put emojis and capital letters and put fucking all these curses and this and that. Like, this is what fucking pro wrestling's all about. Everything's got to be epic, amazing, unbelievable. I'm shaking right now. This is one of the greatest things ever. The, you know, oh, overblowing stuff. Let's keep things in a little bit perspective. That's what I try to do. And the sad thing about it, and it's not just pro wrestling. It's in real life. It's in politics. It's in sports. It's in regular social issues. If you criticize something, you are anti. If you really praise something, you're over the top extreme. You know, there's no middle line. You try to be fair and balanced. And even today, AEW Dynamite rating came out, 832,000 viewers, all right? Yeah, some people might find that's a little bit disappointing, especially since they hyped up not only leading into Forbidden Door and Collision, but the MJF Cole match and, you know, other things that were going down, the Blackpool Combat Club versus the Young Bucks Hangman. There was a lot that was advertised that was great for Wednesday, and it only did 832, and there's no playoffs. There's no sports to blame it on. So I just go on social media and I say, I'm already reading excuses about 832,000, you know, that was the rating. And when you look at the top 50 original broadcasts on basic cable for yesterday, they have AEW selected at number 3 because they select the column that's the 18 to 49 demographic. And hear me out with this, because I promise you, after I say what I'm about to say, you'll never focus unless you want to, you know, but you really won't focus on demos anymore when you look at ratings. All right. They have AEW listed as ranked number 3 for Wednesday. And that's all that matters. Even though the rating went down 10%, even though the demos went down, it still was number 3 for the night. So number 12 on this top 50 shows from yesterday is a show called Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Okay. The 18 to 49 demo rating for AEW was 0.30. Okay. It drops down to 0.13 by number 12. So it drops down significantly almost immediately. Always Sunny in Philadelphia is ranked number 13 for the night. Okay. I don't like the show Hannity. I don't watch Fox News anymore, and I'm not a fan of Fox News, but Hannity was ranked number 23. Okay. So now just keep in the back of your mind, AEW is ranked number 3. Always Sunny in Philadelphia is ranked number 13. And Hannity was ranked number 23. Okay. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, for the entire viewership, only drew 279,000 viewers. Yet, it was ranked number 13 for the night. Hannity, which was ranked 23, had 2,087,000 viewers. The demo for 18 to 49 for Always Sunny in Philadelphia was 0.13. Hannity was 0.11, almost identical. Always Sunny in Philadelphia had, in the 18 to 49 demographic, 121,000 viewers. Hannity had almost 800,000. Explain to me how Always Sunny in Philadelphia is ranked 13th for the night with only 279,000 total viewers, but Hannity is 10 notches down and has almost 10 times the viewership. And in the 18 to 49 demographic has 6 times the viewership. So I commented today, you know, I'm getting sick of people making excuses. I didn't say the AEW rating was bad, and I wasn't making an excuse for it. But people immediately get angry because I challenge it. And again, give me the logic how that show, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, would be ranked number 13 with 1/10 the viewership of the show I just mentioned. So why do I say this? Okay, we have AEW Collision going on this Saturday. And yesterday on Dynamite, they had a little bit of a storyline that led to a women's match that's going to take place on Collision. On Dynamite, they had Sky Blue losing to Toni Storm. All right, during the match, Toni Storm sprays the green, you know, spray paint into Sky Blue's mother who's sitting at ringside. And then, you know, Sky Blue, so angry, she decides she's going to run on the opposite of the ring and do a tope suicida. Somebody spray something in my mouth, I punch you in the fucking mouth. I don't run the ropes and do a tope suicida. So, you know, it really wasn't well received by the fans. But after the match was over, there was a continued beatdown, and Willow Nightingale made the save. So now, on Saturday, on Collision, we're going to have Sky Blue and Willow Nightingale versus Toni Storm and Ruby Soho. Now, first of all, there goes your roster split. There goes your hard split, soft split, in the middle split, because we had Toni Storm and Ruby Soho working Dynamite, and now they're working Collision. Tony Khan just said in an interview this week that it's not a hard roster split. As I said all along, that it's two touring groups. That is the biggest difference. You will have some wrestlers that'll work both shows because they want to work it. They make money. And for storyline and for position and power and where they're ranked in the company, they will work some the both shows. But to give this impression that anybody that is on the side of CM Punk is restricted to Friday, and anybody who is against Punk is restricted to Wednesday, and on occasion you have people back and forth. Listen, when Forbidden Door happens, you tell me, what are we going to have two separate buildings for the wrestlers who are pro-Punk? That they're going to be at a Howard Johnson's, and the wrestlers that are anti-Punk are going to be in the Hilton. You know, everybody's going to be in the same building working the same pay-per-view. It was dumb for people to think that in the beginning, but it was all designed that, oh, you know, yeah, CM Punk will return and he'll have his own show, and, you know, others will have nothing to do with him and they won't be around him and everything is good. That's shit you do for, like, low-rent indie stuff. You don't do it for, you know, billion-dollar owner for a company that is worth hundreds of millions. It's stupid, asinine. But here's my point. With all due respect, Sky Blue and Willow Nightingale versus Toni Storm and Ruby Soho as the first women's match announced for Collision sounds like fucking Rampage for me. I have zero interest in watching that. So yeah, we'll probably see Thunder Rosa maybe come out and make an appearance. We might see someone else show up. But why not put, as the first announcement, why not put someone out there that we haven't seen as much, that hasn't gotten as much of an opportunity? Why not put Taya Valkyrie out there? Why not put someone else who everybody feels really deserves a little bit of a push and is getting very little play on national TV? You give us a Rampage match. We love Willow Nightingale. She's from my neck of the woods, and here in New York, everybody roots for her. She's awesome. And I'm a fan of Toni Storm. Ruby Soho is great. Sky Blue is still growing, and she's doing very well, too. This is a fucking Rampage match. That's all it is. And you almost feel like they put this match out there because of the after-match antics. And why? Because Thunder Rosa comes out there instead of Britt Baker? It's supposed to feel different? I thought the idea of Collision was to be more, you know, like a different style of product that is different from Dynamite. So, you know, like one restaurant is a Chinese restaurant and the other one is an Italian restaurant. They both serve food, but, you know, it's a little bit different. For the people that don't want the over-the-top goofy stuff or the flippy stuff, you know, that's more for Wednesdays. On Saturdays, you got more, you know, storyline and more, you know, in-ring. This feels like a Rampage. You know what it feels like? It feels like a meal that you get in like a cheap diner, and then you take that meal and you bring it to a big time restaurant, and they add a little bit of like flowers around it or a little bit of garnish, and they may put a little piece of butter on it, and like, oh, look, your dinner is served. Oh, this looks amazing. Well worth the $70. And then really all it is a $10 meal spiced up to make it look like something more. Okay, another one. Buddy Matthews versus Andrade. Buddy Matthews is a trios champion. Andrade is not. Andrade making his return, I'm happy. He's finally coming back. Good. But where does this go? Are we going to have Jose the Assistant show up? Are we going to have two more Latinos show up? And then the House of Black shows up? And then we're going to have Andrade and two other people feud with Buddy Matthews and Brody King and, you know, Malakai Black for the Trios Champions in the future? Again, this feels like a Rampage match. They may let them go a few extra minutes because it's a two-hour show instead of a one-hour show. This doesn't feel like anything, you know, added. This doesn't feel pay-per-view quality. You would think for the debut edition of Collision that you would throw pay-per-view quality matches as like, holy shit, this is must-see TV. And I look at what's announced, and honestly, it all feels like a Rampage. Miro, they announced, will be wrestling on Saturday. We don't get an opponent for him. Miro will be in action. Almost every week, that is what they do on Rampage. Jake Cargill will be in action. Wardlow will be in action. And then they wrestle and they take on Caleb King or whatever his name is. I have nothing against him. But they have a squash match. And then it leads to a confrontation with someone else. That feels like a Rampage segment. And then you got Wardlow defending the TNT Championship against Luchasaurus. Believe it or not, I actually like that match because, in my opinion, the TNT Championship should be defended only on TNT. And the TBS Championship should only be defended on TBS. I know both networks are owned by the same company, but you got a TNT champ. It's like, what are you going to do, have a Fox belt defended on USA Network's Raw? I mean, I never liked that. And the interesting thing about it, I did a little bit of research earlier. You'll probably find this really interesting. I was checking out Jade Cargill's championship run. Not her overall undefeated streak, but her championship run. And I always felt that Jade Cargill's title matches were heavily favored for Rampage. But yet, when you look at Jay Cargill, even non-title matches, if you look at Jay Cargill and you look at the last year and a half to 2 years that she was used on AEW television, outside of pay-per-views and Elevation and Dark, whatever, or the Jericho Cruise, which I don't even know if she was on it, but you look at just Dynamite Rampage, they were rotating back and forth. It's pretty wild when you look at it. You'll see her on a Rampage, and she's on a Dynamite. And then the next appearance, she's on a Dynamite, and then she's on a Rampage. And then after that, she's on a Rampage, and on a Dynamite. They almost rotated every single time for a year and a half, 2 years. Never noticed that pattern before. But she didn't have as many title defenses on TNT as you would think with the TBS title. But now, since you have these two substantial shows, and look, they want to portray AEW Collision as being this major second show. Rampage was supposed to be. It was only 1 hour. So I think people overhyped Rampage from the start. It was a 1 hour show. You know, it's not as much that you could do in 1 hour, especially if you have any complex storylines or if you put a really banger of a match. You have a banger of a match with a commercial break or two, that could take up a third of the show with no problem. That's only 20 minutes. So much easier with a 2 hour show. But still, you know, you look at Wardlow versus Luchasaurus for the TNT Championship. I'm like, okay, you know, that I'm cool with. That I'm fine with. But are we just going to get that same AEW template? The way they book things, the way, you know, how matches go down and with, you know, after-match antics. You know, remember, as much as you want to think that there's two different, you know, sets, two different groups that are writing AEW, that's not as accurate as you think. Sure, CM Punk will have a major hand in what he does and who he feuds with and other things. He is not the final say in anything. Tony Khan is. You will see him getting, you know, a little bit of power, and he should. Biggest draw in AEW. Biggest merch seller of all time. Pay-per-view buy rates. Look, guy has earned it. Guy is the number one guy, and there's a lot of people in AEW that don't like that. But remember, it's a two-hour show. How much do you think CM Punk is going to be part of this two-hour show? 15 minutes? That's an eighth of the show. So I've said it for a while now. For every 10 thumbnails that AEW puts out for upcoming Collision tapings or shows, whether it's Canada, South Carolina, New Jersey, wherever they're going to be, for every 10 thumbnails that come out, 9 of them feature CM Punk only. And I thought that was a major mistake from day one, because you can't assume that CM Punk is the Roman Reigns draw of AEW, and this is not the CM Punk for 2019, because the media, certain people in AEW had a year to diminish CM Punk's value, and they succeeded. They succeeded. A lot of these journalists online, you know, they might be friendly and they might be smart, but they are dangerous. And in the end, they may think that they're doing a good, you know, doing something good for the wrestling business. I hope Tony Khan realizes how much they fucked up AEW. They fucked up AEW. You look at online, the people out there that are really anticipating CM Punk's return, it is nowhere near what it was in 2019. Some people will try to convince you otherwise. It's nowhere near. You look at the prices at a lot of these shows. What did I say last week that nobody was even paying attention to? And not that they were paying attention to me, but wasn't even news to them. But once the first edition of AEW Collision goes down on Saturday the 17th of June, we will now know what the floor plans are. Now we know what the outline is for AEW Collision. Now we know who are the players, where it's going to go, how it's going to appear different from Dynamite, which other than some wrestlers, I don't think the feeling is going to feel any different, no matter how much they try to say otherwise. But once that is put out there, that's when you will see AEW to start announcing matches for the upcoming shows in Canada and Jersey and other places. But right now, how could you ask someone in their right mind to pay $200, $300 for one ticket for a collision event, and all you know is a couple of people that are going to show up? You think I, as much as I want to see Miro come back, you think I'm going to pay prime money to see Miro in action? Well, I don't even know who he's going to face. What if he faces Lee Moriarty? Nothing against Lee Moriarty, but I have no interest in seeing Miro versus Lee Moriarty. Oh, but he's so good. He's amazing. AR Fox versus Miro. Oh, my God. Andrade versus AR Fox. Could you? Oh, my God. Four-star match. I don't want to see AR Fox. Nothing against him. Just because someone is good doesn't mean that I have any type of connection to them. So everything, with the exception of the main event, feels like nothing but Rampage. Now we have the main event of CM Punk and FTR versus Samoa Joe, Juice Robinson, and Jay White. Now, in my opinion, AEW has to real. I mean, AEW knows, but Tony Khan has to acknowledge and realize, and CM Punk, I'm sure, is aware of it tenfold because he sees what goes on social media every day. They got to turn this and use it to their advantage. I don't know if you turn CM Punk heel in Chicago, but I almost feel like if they are going to turn him heel, they gotta. And I'll tell you why. Because FTR, I know on social media, Dax Harwood is, you know, one of the more disliked people because, you know, him being too brutally honest in some of his views and being a Punk fan, you know, they know. But at the end of the day, are you going to turn FTR heel also? Because everybody thinks that CM Punk turns on FTR. I'm not 100% sure about that, because if you are going to have CM Punk turn this Saturday, what is he going to do? Allow his teammates to beat down the other side and then he turns on FTR? That doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense. I mean, it could make sense if the match starts and for the first 80% of the match, CM Punk is not in it and he's trying to get the hot tag the whole time. Some people think Samoa Joe will turn babyface. So maybe CM Punk and FTR or CM Punk by himself. You know, he doesn't give a shit about Samoa Joe. So FTR could be battling Samoa Joe. And then CM Punk could ultimately turn on FTR and Joe. My point is that for CM Punk to just stand there and allow some people that he may align with get beat down by someone that he's going to turn against, you know, it is kind of goofy when you think about it. But you almost feel like if you're going to turn this guy, you got to do it from the get-go. I personally think also CM Punk has to cut a pipe bomb. He has to. And even if CM Punk doesn't wrestle a minute in this match but turns on someone instead and the match gets thrown out and he gets on the mic and cuts the pipe bomb, you know, for AEW that everybody's going to talk about years to come like he did in WWE, people will get a little pissed off about him not really wrestling all that much, but that pipe bomb will be what everybody will remember. And look, they're in Chicago. So even if CM Punk were to turn but still be pro-Chicago, that crowd will go home happy. You know, you and listen, that's not as far off as you'd think. And the reason why I say that is MJF. You pay attention when MJF is clear-cut heel. You know, even when they were teasing he was going to be a babyface, I mean, I was blown away at some people online that really thought that he was turning babyface, where you could see a mile away that he wasn't. He's the devil. But when he comes to New York, he praises New York. He bashes everything else. So CM Punk absolutely could turn heel Saturday and still be pro Chicago. But man, would that be, and that would be the MJF template, if you think about it. But that would be ballsy, and that would be an interesting challenge to for CM Punk to try to get his own home turf against him. Holy shit, that would be interesting. You know, people think that CM Punk's going to get booed out of the building in Chicago, and I disagree 100%. I don't care if they're in Canada, South Carolina, Washington, D.C., Texas, New York. I don't care. In the end, Chicago stands by CM Punk. Unless CM Punk tells them all, pardon my French, to go fuck off. But I personally think CM Punk needs to cut a pipe bomb. He needs to come across that he is in business for himself, that Tony Khan needs him, that Warner Media needs him, that this show is nothing without him, that he holds all the cards. Maybe he aligns with Jay White. Maybe Bullet Club Gold, he is a part, maybe he's the leader of it. Maybe the guns that, you know, yes, they're not ready, but it would be pretty interesting if the guns and Jay White and Juice Robinson align with Punk and they have their own faction. But even more, what I think is got to go down with this, if you really think about it, is, you know, you have Don Callis. And yes, Don Callis has to be the mouthpiece for Takeshka. We just had Anarchy in the Arena. And if you remember my show over the weekend, when we were talking about this past Wednesday's Dynamite, I said, we just had Anarchy in the Arena. Why are we having a Blackpool Combat Club versus Adam Page and the Young Bucks again after Anarchy in the Arena? How ass backwards is that? And then you realize, oh, well, that's because Takeshka is going to show up and Kenny Omega is going to return. He's going to have somebody with him. And we didn't think it was going to be Eddie Kingston because he's recovering from the groin surgery. We don't even know if he could actually return to the ring yet. Maybe he can. But the thing is you knew why they were still doing that match. Even after Anarchy in the Arena, that should have been it. But they did that because of the Takeshka and everything else. Where do you go from here with Takeshka? Honestly, in my opinion, you bring Takeshka over to Collision. And you bring Don Callis over to Collision as well. And if you put Don Callis some way in the corner of Punk, I personally think that gets nuclear. I'm not saying that Don Callis is, you know, is the Paul Heyman for AEW, but Don Callis is good at what he does, man. I am a fan of Don Callis. And personally, I think, and I'm sorry for saying this, I think he is wasted if he is simply going to be the mouthpiece for Takeshka. You know, people think that he's going to be associated with the Blackpool Combat Club. I personally think in the end, Blackpool Combat Club, they don't need Don Callis. I don't even think they want Don Callis. You don't want the Blackpool Combat Club to turn on Don Callis because Don Callis doesn't want to start taking bumps. You know, when he bled, you know, it was accidental. But I personally would think Don Callis showing up there would be tremendous. So this Saturday's Collision, will I be watching? Yes. Will I be watching it live? I'm not sure yet. I will definitely watch it either Saturday Night Live, not watch it Saturday Night Live. I'll be watching AEW Collision Saturday night while it's live, or I'll watch it Sunday morning. And I will give my honest thoughts, how I felt about it. But I got to be totally honest with you. CM Punk is the only person that entices me to watch this, because all the other matches feel like they could have popped up on a Rampage. And again, this is the same AEW company doing a show on Rampage. You think of Battle of the Belts. You think Rampage. Now we have Collision. You know, they all end up feeling, you know, the same people behind it. How is Collision going to suddenly feel so creatively different if at the end of the day, a lot of the same heads are the ones behind the scenes doing what they're doing. So the matches that feel like they're Rampage matches, I have no interest. Buddy Matthews and Andrade is going to be great. But it doesn't tell me why that should feel different than a Rampage. So I'm not anticipating this show as much as I should. I remember how I felt a couple of years ago for Rampage. In fact, I even think we did a watch along. I'm not sure. But I know we talked about it in great detail. And that night, you know, with CM Punk returning to wrestling, I mean, of course, it wasn't going to have this same type of emotion because a couple of years ago, we missed CM Punk for a very, very long time. Now we have had CM Punk for a while. So that missing him feeling, you know, is not as strong as a couple of years ago. Even if CM Punk was not crapped on for a year, the feeling still would have been a little bit lighter. But, you know, outside of that, I don't feel anywhere near anticipating like I did a couple of years ago. And then you got to think about Forbidden Door as well. They have Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming up. You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't watch New Japan Pro Wrestling all that much. And most American viewers don't either. They're on Access TV every week and it does garbage ratings. Believe me, it does awful ratings. And there's no signs of it improving anytime soon. And please don't tell me that, oh, hey, Access is not available for a lot of people. You know, I mean, Impact Wrestling right now is doing like 140,000 viewers, 130,000 viewers. There's been no increase for New Japan Pro Wrestling, even when Kenny Omega was holding a belt and they were showing up and they had New Japan here and then they had wrestlers that were on Impact and, you know, then we're back in New Japan and there were a lot of names. Oh my God, I can't believe, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then they're on every week and nobody tunes in. You had Forbidden Door a year ago where AEW and New Japan were going at it and no American viewers after Forbidden Door turned around and said, you know what? You know, I've always heard about these guys, but man, they're fucking great. Let me go watch New Japan this week and continue following them. They got no bump, zero. Go back and look at the ratings. So I'm not into New Japan. I don't watch Women of Wrestling all that much. Doesn't mean I don't like Women of Wrestling or I don't like New Japan. But if the lights go off Saturday and Sanada shows up, which I know he's not because he's taking on Jungle Boy Forbidden Door, but if Sanada showed up, why do I care? Kenta. I've seen Kenta wrestle. Kenta's been on TV before. If the lights go out and Kenta shows up, I'm supposed to sit there and get that chill down my spine? You know, for some people, yes, and that's cool. I'm not making fun of anybody. But, you know, some of these names are nowhere near the household popularity, the overwhelming number of people you'd think. So you may get a small niche of people to write, oh my God, this is epic, amazing, unbelievable, you know, just, I can't believe what I just saw, holy shit. They'll write in big capital letters, holy fucking shit, Kenta's on my TV. Kenta just confronted CM Punk, holy fucking shit. For me, it's like, I don't know. And that's not crapping on anything. I'm just expressing that. You know, just because, you know, it's someone that a few people like doesn't mean everybody's into it. So I want to hope that Collision has a different aura, a different feeling. But, you know, I look at the matches that are announced and it feels pretty much like a Rampage. Every match should have felt pay-per-view quality. How is it that Wardlow is the only person defending a title that night? And yes, we will get surprises. Thunder Rosa has to show up now. She has to show up. She's going to get involved with someone. Maybe she confronts Toni Storm. That could very well happen. So maybe Saraya comes out and then you have Thunder Rosa and you get to, or Britt Baker comes out and you have Thunder Rosa and people are like, holy shit. The only problem with that is that Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa are technically both baby faces right now. But we're going to see some surprises. We're going to see some swerves. I think we're absolutely going to see somebody turn. And I'm crossing my fingers that we get Don Callis eventually on AEW Collision. I absolutely think that that is necessary. As far as ratings go, my original prediction a week ago was that Collision's debut was going to do 840,000 viewers. I am not so sure anymore. When I did the special episode Tuesday, the 13th of June, with Kevin Castle, at the very end of the show, we gave our predictions. And I said, I originally said 840. Now I'm thinking upper sevens. I'm thinking like 775 or something. I don't remember exactly the number I put on Tuesday, but I think like 775, 780 might be more realistic. I think he went with low eights, like 820. I absolutely do not see Collision drawing a million. The final quarter hour, the final 30 minutes, might get a nice bump because I'm sure people who are home Saturday night, even if they didn't tune in early on and they're waiting until the very end to tune in because CM Punk is going to be on at the end, you know, there'll be a nice bump. I don't think it's going to be one of those AEW episodes where the final two quarters are some of the lowest of the night. This will be the opposite. Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley in the cage a couple of weeks ago on Dynamite. They had a nice bump for the final two quarters of the night because the cage match was hype. That's a good match. That's a good draw. So we're going to get that same bump Saturday night. I'm pretty convinced of that. I want to see what time this match starts. Collision is going to be on from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. If that main event starts somewhere around 9:15 to 9:30, then some serious shit is going down Saturday night. If it starts like 9:40, 9:45, I hope they don't go off the air with everybody asking 1,000 questions. Why did he do what he did? And then we have to wait a week. CM Punk breaks his silence. I don't want that. This debut edition, if done right, even if you're not the biggest fan of AEW, could be a fun episode to go back and watch in the future. WCW has been out of business for 22 years. Once in a while, I do watch the debut edition of Monday Nitro. It's fun to see Brian Pillman. It's fun to see the surprise of Lex Luger. It's fun to see, you know, them doing the shit in the mall. You know, it's interesting to go back. Raw, 1993, the first show. What was it, Damian Demento versus The Undertaker? When you have memorable first debuts of shows, it's something that people will go back to for years and years to come. For Rampage, everybody goes back and reminisces CM Punk's return to wrestling. Do you remember much of else of anything on that card? I certainly don't. So this Collision, the matches should have been pay-per-view quality, and maybe they're giving us what they're giving us, so CM Punk stuff stands out even more. But again, most of you will probably tune into this after Collision airs. And even if you tune into this months later, it'll be really interesting to go back to this episode that we're doing right now and see how accurate were we? What ended up happening with that ESPN interview with CM Punk? Did he work shoot to just try to get a little extra buzz for Collision? Where does Collision look months from now? Will it be a better show than Dynamite? Will it be Dynamite 2? Will it be more of a Rampage? So all that will be happening in the very near future, and I'm looking forward to it. So guys, it's been real. Sorry about not doing a normal episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite this week. I felt with Collision debuting in 2 days and with the controversy of CM Punk's imminent interview being released with ESPN, that kind of dominated the news the last 24 to 48 hours. So, yeah, enjoy. Let me know what you thought. If you have any feedback, definitely post it. Much love, everybody. All the best. And if you are going to tune into Collision, whether live or on the replay, yeah, we'll talk about it next week. I'm very, very curious to see and hear all your feedback. So have a good one, everyone. All the best. And I wish nothing but the best for AEW. Knock it out of the park. Be well, everybody. Ha 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 ha
Yeah.